Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
On this week's Squawk 7000, things that go bump in the flight. Everyone has a story about hitting a rough patch of air while flying, those hair-raising moments when suddenly more than the aircraft is flying. Our stomachs drop, drinks might spill, and people caught in the aisles lurch against seats. Well, turbulence is a certainty and a significant source of flight anxiety for flyers of all stripes. But understanding what causes turbulence, where it occurs, and the high-tech tools pilots use to make air travel safer and more comfortable may help settle even the most anxious flyers' nerves. Our guest this week knows a lot more about turbulence than the average person on the street. For the past 7 years, Ignacio Gallego Marcos has been working in turbulence modelling and computational fluid dynamics, or CFD. He did his doctoral thesis at the KTH Royal Institute of Technology in Sweden and currently works in Sweden as a CFD engineer. He's also written several journal and conference papers within fluid mechanics. Well, I started our conversation by asking Ignacio about his motivation to set up the site turbuly.com.
Yeah, well, the motivation was that I was looking for a tool like that, basically. I'm from Spain, but I live in Sweden, so I fly quite often. And it was on a flight from Madrid that before takeoff, actually, I wanted to check, oh, how is the flight going to be? And I thought there must be a tool which can help me to check it. But when I checked, there was nothing. And there were some maps of turbulence, some thunderstorms here and there, maps with confusing icons and so on. And right there, I thought that it would be very interesting to create such an application. And this was perhaps 6 years ago, and it was all the time in the back of my head. But it wasn't until mid-2020 that I finally decided to start it. And then, yeah, it came out.
Well, congratulations on the website. It has a really nice user interface, the way you can go on, put in your departure airport, your arrival airport, and then it gives you an opportunity to find your own flight. And again, by way, I suppose, of explaining to our listeners, this is both of interest to aviation people and non-aviation people as well. There must be a fair amount of science going on in the background. And I suppose maybe what we might do first, really, is find out a little bit more about what gave you an expertise to even look at turbulence.
Yeah, well, I've been working in the area of fluid mechanics for quite a long time. So about 8 to 9 years, I did my PhD on it. It's a quite broad area. So when in my PhD, I was looking at the water cooling of a nuclear reactor, which is also related to fluid mechanics. And then afterwards, I was working with other projects also involved in fluid mechanics related to gases. And now it's mainly cooling, but of telecom equipment. So I have quite an understanding in the fluid mechanics theory and how it works and how the output parameters are and so on.
So that's the link to turbulence. And I suppose, again, you know, I'm conscious that our audience, some who are pilots and will have an idea about what turbulence is, and others who are generally interested in aviation and sort of see it as this kind of awkward thing that when the seatbelt sign goes on, we become a little bit nervous and afraid. Can I ask a direct question? What is turbulence that upsets us in the air?
I think the first thing to understand is that turbulence, I guess for many people is clear, but maybe not for others, is that it's not only specific to flights. It's a very, very common phenomenon. It happens everywhere around us. Like right now we're talking, the steam, the air going from our mouth is generating turbulence. When we cook, we can see the swirls coming out of the cooking pot. That is all turbulence. So it's nothing only specific to planes. And the places where turbulence is generated is mainly in the regions where there is high velocity differences. So you have high shear, for example, then the flow will no longer flow in parallel lines, but it will try to kind of start rotating a little bit here and there, creating vortices, which are the turbulent bodies. And then those vortices will gradually dissipate and break down and become smaller.
I was going to say, it's a little bit like the theory of the butterfly flaps its wings and somewhere else in the world is a hurricane. Is that the idea?
Well, that's a part of it. Like the idea of the butterfly is that it's a very chaotic system. And chaotic system means that it's very sensitive to the initial conditions. And that is not only turbulence, which it is chaotic, but also to the weather patterns, which are very chaotic, not only because of the turbulence, but because of the huge probable changes in the weather phenomena or directions of the flow.
I'm taking really what you said there about it not just being in the air. And I recall at one stage being in a city where I walked around the corner of a building and almost got blown over because, you know, from what looked like a normal day, the building itself was creating an almost a turbulence around it.
Yeah, I mean, for example, in flights, we hear the term mountain wave turbulence. And that is basically the turbulence generated by a flow passing an obstacle, in this case, a mountain. But in the city, as you say, it happens all the time. You go over a building, one corner, and boom, suddenly you get a stream of, and you see these swirling leaves going around in one corner, just rotating and rotating. That's a turbulent eddy. So it's not only up there, it's also in the street where we live, everywhere.
Okay, so let's take it then from the ground up. And I presume that there's a kind of turbulence that we'd experience at low level, which might be as a result of what, the air being disturbed or displaced in its original direction where it wanted to go. And then we fly through that and what we feel like we're going over, you know, a rough road, cobblestones, a discomfort maybe.
Yeah, the thing is that in the plane, it's also exaggerated, this feeling, because it's going at quite a high speed. So then even if the turbulence from an outside, from a person sitting on the ground, will see that the plane is moving smoothly up and down, for us, it will feel like quite a strong shaking. Mm-hmm. Whereas in reality, it's not like that. The plane is not suffering as big bumps as we feel inside. And the analogy that we say all the time is it's the same as if you drive your car over a road bump fast or slow. You drive it slow, you don't notice, but the plane is going very fast. So then you smash yourself upwards.
Bang your head, as the case may be. Yeah. I've heard nervous people who don't really like flying say, you know, we dropped 1,000 feet. But of course, that isn't the case. It's actually quite a small displacement, isn't it?
Normally, most of the turbulence we feel is it's in the moderate side. Strong turbulence is rare. Severe turbulence is extremely rare. So
then if you think about that, okay, we've got the idea that at least we now know we're flying through the air. Is it unrealistic for people to expect a completely smooth flight? In other words, is there going to be turbulence anyway?
There will always be turbulence. The thing is that there's almost no region of the atmosphere which is in the laminar regime, meaning that all the flow is moving in parallel lines with no disturbance. Even the air in our rooms now is mostly turbulent. The rooms where we're sitting and speaking now. So up in the air, it's mostly turbulent. The good news is that the turbulence is very light. So when the captain says we're going to go through some turbulence area, he should actually say we're going to go through an area with higher turbulence than normal. Because all the area will be turbulent.
We were talking there originally about sort of low-level ones, and people in small airplanes will experience it, you know, if you fly over a bog in Ireland or if you fly in your mountains. But up where the jet stream is, at the very high levels as well, there's a concept of something called clear air turbulence. What's that?
Yeah, well, clear turbulence, it just refers to turbulence that we cannot see. That's why they name clear air, because the pilot cannot spot it. And it's basically generated, as you say, by jet streams. The jet streams are like a narrow, high-velocity bands of air. They are generated because the air circulation, like all the steam rising in the equators, then being sent to the poles and creating these Hadley cells, polar cells, and so on. And those jets, what they do is that they have a huge velocity gradient from their center line to the outside. And that velocity gradient is what causes a lot of swirlings, recirculations, sudden ups and downs, the clear air turbulence that we refer to.
We're talking about liquids and fluids. And I suppose the analogy I have in my head is that, you know, if you were in the sea, you would feel a current if you were going through the water. But when you're in the air, it's almost the same thing, isn't it? I mean, what is the distinction between them? They're just different kinds of fluid.
Yeah, yeah. So a jet stream could be a river, basically, or a high flow passes through the water. And you will see actually in the water swirlings continuously. You will never see a perfectly calm river flowing completely smoothly. You will always see like tiny swirls everywhere. So the same thing is happening on the air, just in a different scale. They have different viscosity, so that is affecting also slightly how fast turbulence is generated. But in principle, it's very similar. Yeah.
And I want to come to what's available to you in the forecasting in a moment, but I also just want to go back to the website for a moment, because you've put additional information in there, which I was curious about. You've put very good statistics in terms of safety and aircraft engine dependability, etc. Mm-hmm. What was in your mind when you decided to do that?
I thought it would be interesting for people either curious or scared of turbulence to know about these topics. Mm.
What do you say to somebody who's scared of turbulence?
I understand it. So I think it's an understandable feeling. Like you're high up there, you're not in control, which is very annoying not to be in control. But the fact is that there has been so many flights, so much statistics, so much data that it has shown that it's perfectly safe to fly and that turbulence is nothing to worry about in the sense of safety. Of comfort, yes, you might not be able to
use the
toilet or the coffee will spill or you will not have your food. But in terms of safety, I mean, it's orders of magnitude safer than car that we are completely used to. And there's many people who is
you have some interesting statistics about the journey to the airport and the taxi can be much more dangerous than the flight itself.
Just the taxi ride should make you more nervous than the flight.
Exactly. Going over bumpy roads. Okay, so if I was flying 30, 40 years ago, pilots would have had fairly basic weather reports. What's now available and how has your science added to the knowledge that we have?
Right now, what has improved is, the models are continuously improving, the models produced by NOAA or the Met Office regarding turbulent forecasting. But what has improved the most is the computational power. So right now, these agencies have the capacity to run much finer resolution models. And for example, the GFS, the Global Forecast System, has about 13 kilometers resolution, which is quite big considering that they are simulating the entire Earth. And then the turbulence forecast that is produced from that, it also has 13 kilometer resolution. This one is actually fairly new. It's from the one that I use in Turbulis, the graphical turbulence guidance. Before it was 26 kilometer resolution and it was different using a different set of correlations, which they've shown to work well, but they don't have as good predictability as the ones they use now.
We'll be back in a moment after this short break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And you say about not being able to see certain kinds of turbulence. So what turbulence can you see?
Well, the main ones that you can see is mountain wave turbulence. Basically what we talked before, the flow past an obstacle. And then if you have clouds, for example, you can see basically waves on the clouds themselves. They can span a few hundred kilometers. And then the pilot can either go high above them to avoid them or just stay below. And then the other very common type is the cumulonimbus clouds, so thunderstorm clouds. The small ones tend to be okay. Like, you shouldn't be scared if you see a cumulonimbus cloud and your pilot is going through it. They know what they're doing.
Ignacio, you and your brother at one point helping you out in the process too. Can you take us through what happened? You sat down at a computer screen, and how did you decide the structure you're going to put on this particular software and the site?
Before actually doing this, I had no experience whatsoever in what it's related to web design or web coding. So I had to learn everything from scratch. But I had the idea quite clear that what I wanted is a tool that can be very, very easy to check. I didn't like the weather maps that are complex, or you have to know what is going to be your flight path, your altitude, your time, or you have symbols which you don't know what they mean. What I knew is that it had to be very, very simple, and without prior knowledge, you can directly understand how it's going to be your flight. And I thought it's going to be very helpful for the users. And when you see the website, you see that you only enter departure and arrival. It's information you know for sure, and the date. And you don't even need to say input the flight details. They appear in front of you for you. You don't need to input the arrival time and so on. And from there, we take the aircraft model that you're going to go in, the path that you're going to make. And then we compute, aggregate all the data from different forecasts to present you in a simplified form, but still accurate form.
Did you enjoy the maths?
Yeah, well, so this is not my current job. Not my current job. My main job is side work or hobby. And the main reason why I did it and I continue this is because I enjoyed it. Otherwise, I would have dropped it out at some point.
Yeah. And I suppose the satisfaction of seeing it work as well. You've broken the flight into what, three phases? Takeoff, cruise, and landing?
Yeah, the main part, the upper part, is the cruise. So I think that's the thing that most people are interested in when it pops up. But then I decided to also add the takeoff and landing, because they are, in some short-range flights, they are also important sections of the flight. For example, Madrid to Barcelona is quite short. So takeoff and landing, or climb and descent, take a big part of the flight. So I decided to include them. So the forecast is not only at cruise altitude, but also goes through all the altitudes that you're going to go as you climb up to your actual cruising altitude.
Okay, tough question. Is there more turbulence now than there was before? Are we seeing any evidence of climate change? What's the trend?
Yeah, we are seeing increase on turbulence, but this is based on models that have a lot of uncertainty. So if weather forecasting itself has a lot of uncertainty, you know that the weather in 1 week cannot be well predicted. So just imagine in 50 years. So it's a trend that we see that due to climate change and due to the uneven warming of the different parts of the Earth, turbulence is going to increase on most regions, some more than others, for example, the North Atlantic more. How much, how fast, that was up to see. There has been quotes like it's going to be up to 100 or something percent, but those are just rough numbers. So it's the main thing is that we see that the scientific world sees a trend that it's increasing.
And that cannot, again, being related to changes in climate.
Yeah, big relationships to climate change and how the different parts of the Earth are warming. One cause is that the jet streams are getting stronger. So as a result of that, the turbulence generated by them is also getting stronger. And there is the important route, Europe to US, London to New York, there is a big jet stream going through there. So if that one gets stronger, all those flights will be affected as well.
Again, if you talk to regular travelers, they've all got their favorite stories about, you know, the approach to Barcelona, for example, or, you know, going into Madeira. Again, I don't know why all these are popping into my head, but these are stories that people talk about. Are there parts of the world more prone to turbulence than others? Again, I suppose it comes back to your definition of what it is.
Yeah. I mean, we said at the beginning that turbulence is very chaotic, so it depends a lot in the initial conditions. It can happen everywhere and so on. But it is also very linked to all these jet streams. storms, mountain waves, and cumulonimbus clouds, thunderstorm clouds that we talked about. So the areas where you tend to find those are actually the areas where are most likely to have turbulence. So for example, you're flying London to New York on winter, then jet stream is going to be stronger than during the summer, then there's more chances that you're going to have stronger turbulence. Or let's say you're crossing the equator, then there's chances that you find the storms on the way. And of course, your pilot will tend to avoid them, but you will inevitably feel some of the bumpiness of going around them or slightly above them in the anvil. And the same goes with mountain waves. So the Rockies are famous in the US for being a very turbulent area. The Andes also around Chile. And also in Italy, in Europe, the Alps and so on. So there are certain hotspots that for sure tend to trigger more turbulence just by their geographical structure, either mountains or just by the airflows that they have above.
That said, I have a sense that that really doesn't worry you too much. You're not bothered too much by turbulence because you know so much about it or so much insight into it.
I'm not concerned at all about turbulence when I fly, I have to say. But I'm aware that it's a big concern for other people. Actually, the website initially, I had the hope that it wouldn't be my main users, the people who have fear of flying. I had the hope that it would be just curious people. They want to have a look how their flight is and just to see if they will be able to have their food, go to the toilets, work, or walk their kids, things like that.
We'll get up. And I always say to people, if you're going on a long flight, just expect 4 episodes of turbulence. And if you only get 3, you can be disappointed.
So you actually enjoy it? Or...
Yeah. Well, you know, it is back to the idea, of course. Obviously, you don't want to bang your head on the top of the aircraft, and it's about being strapped in and nice and safe. I suppose what we're doing as we're summarizing this is you have this really excellent insight to the idea of what the turbulence is, and a full understanding of it, I suppose, would take away a little bit of that anxiety for people.
And another thing is that if you are concerned about turbulence and what can happen to you, accident rates of flights is almost non-existent. If you really want to be safe, the only thing you need to do is just fasten your seatbelt. The only thing that can happen is have injuries, maybe
tea or coffee,
minor body injuries. But as long as you put your seatbelt on, there is almost nothing that can happen to you during turbulence.
Let's, as we wrap up our conversation, just encourage people to go to the website. And as you say, I've been on it a few times. You get lost. You end up reading so much really interesting material sorts of different flights. Now, there's a very short window of information that you calculate. So there's no point in looking at for a flight in a week's time.
Yeah. So 1.5 days in advance. And this is because if weather forecasting is already unreliable a few days ahead, turbulent forecasting is even more. So there's the agencies such as NOAA or the Met Office, they don't even produce a forecast farther ahead because less reliable than even weather forecasting. So 1.5 days, it's okay range to maintain accuracy.
Well, we'll put a link to the site at the bottom of this podcast. TurbiLi.com, a great name, and Turbly.com. And Ignacio, thank you so much for joining us on Squawk 7000, and happy flying.
Thank you very much, Michael. Happy to talk to you.
To get the news first, subscribe now to Squawk 7000 on your favorite podcast platform.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.